grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke chapter 16, the 8th and the 9th verses. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. But the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. It's no secret that most preachers dread having to preach on the gospel for this ninth Sunday after Trinity. It's one of the most difficult gospel readings in the entire church year. One of the most often misquoted passages in Holy Scripture is found in the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of the first letter of Paul to Timothy. In that verse, St. Paul doesn't say, money is the root of all evil. He says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Words are, of course, best understood in the context, in the setting in which they appear. And so this whole passage in which these words occur is worth hearing now. St. Paul writes to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so when in today's gospel the Lord Jesus speaks of unrighteous wealth, it's not wealth itself that's unrighteous, not money, not property, but how it's used. And the rich man in Jesus' parable commends his manager not for his dishonesty, for his theft, but for his shrewdness, ingratiating himself with his master's debtors so that when he loses his means of making a living, they'll be willing to help him in his predicament. When the rich man discovers that his manager has done this, he praises the manager not for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness. To put it bluntly, the rich man commends him for being a clever rascal. And then the Lord Jesus goes on to say, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the sons of light, meaning that worldly people with no thoughts beyond this present life will sometimes behave more sensibly and providently than those who know that this present life is not all there is. The Savior says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwelling. But isn't eternal life the undeserved gift of God's mercy, and not something we can somehow earn by how we use our money, our property, our talents, our natural abilities? Eternal life is indeed the pure gift of God's mercy. Our only claim on God is the blood of Christ. But in Holy Scripture, God also teaches plainly that the good we do will be rewarded in the life of the world to come. What our Lord is saying then is that those to whom we have done good will be waiting to welcome us to the peace and joy of the heavenly kingdom. Remember how the Lord Jesus tells us that at the last judgment, he will say to those who gave food to the hungry and clothing to the naked, who welcomed strangers, visited the sick, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. There is also this. Almost immediately after telling this parable about the shrewd but dishonest manager, Jesus goes on to tell that very familiar parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. The rich man who had plenty of unrighteous wealth and used it to secure all the pleasure and comfort he could, giving no thought to poor Lazarus lying on his doorstep. I love the translation of the Authorized Version, which says that the rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He gave no thought to poor Lazarus. And then when the time came, would he have been very glad to have even one friend to welcome him into the eternal habitations? There was no one at all. He hadn't bothered to help poor Lazarus lying at his door. Had he done even that, he would have had at least one friend to welcome him on the other side, for Lazarus could then have said, this rich man showed me kindness, But the rich man had given Lazarus no reason whatsoever to say any such thing. And so the rich man in Hades found himself without a friend when he needed one most, and he had nobody to blame but himself. There is also this, the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus is a vivid picture of our world today. No, on second thought, it's a picture of how this fallen world has always been. As someone has said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but there's never enough for everyone's greed. When St. Paul exhorted the Christians in Corinth to give generously to an offering for their poor fellow Christians in Jerusalem, he pointed those Corinthian Christians to the Lord Jesus. Paul said to the Corinthians, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. In his only and eternal Son, born of Mary, God our Maker reveals himself as the generous God, the great giver to the spiritually bankrupt human race. So, see the generous God. See the great giver in the manger and on the cross. See there that utterly unselfish gift, and know that in him you have a treasure that never fails, reserved in heaven for you. And then be generous. Generous with your gifts and talents, indeed with whatever wealth your generous Maker and Redeemer has entrusted to you for this little time. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."